as anticipated, I had the feeling I was being watched all the time. It was not hard to get a little paranoid. We rode the rapids of the first cataract and swept on down the great river into the dawn of company history. My maps called it Troco Talios. Locally, they called it Trogo Taglios, though those who lived there used the shorter Taglios, mostly. As Swan said, the Trogo part refers to an older city that has been enveloped by the younger, more energetic Taglios. It was the biggest city I had ever seen, a vast sprawl without a protective wall, still growing rapidly, horizontally instead of vertically. Northern cities grow upward because no one wants to build outside the wall. Taglios lay on the southeast bank of the great river, actually inland a little, straddling a tributary that snakes between a half dozen low hills. We debarked in a place that was really a satellite of the greater city, a riverport town called Maharanga. Soon Maharanga would share the fate of Trogo. Trogo retained its identity only because it was the seat of the lords of the greater Principiate, its governmental and religious center. The Taglian people seemed friendly, peaceable, and overly god-ridden, much as Swan and Mather had described in brief exchanges during our journey. But underneath that, they seemed to be frightened, and Swan had told us nothing about that. And it was not the company that was their terror. They treated us with respect and courtesy. Swan and party vanished as soon as we tied up. I did not have to tell One Eye to keep an eye on them. The maps showed the sea only 40 miles from Taglios, but that was along a straight line to the nearest coast, west across the river. Down the river's meander and delta, it was 200 miles to salt water. On the map, the delta looked like a many-fingered, spidery hand clawing at the belly of the sea. It is useful to know a little about Taglios, because the company ended up spending a lot more time there than any of us planned, maybe even more than the Taglians themselves hoped. Once I was convinced we would be secure doing so, I ordered a break at Taglios. The rest was overdue, and I needed to do some heavy research. We were near the edge of the maps in my possession. I discovered that I had come to count on Swan and Mather to show me around. Without them, I was forced to rely on One Eye's pet devil, and that I did not like. For no reason I could finger, I did not entirely trust the imp. Maybe it was because his sense of humor so closely reflected his owner's. The only time you trusted One Eye was when your life was at stake. I hoped we were now far enough south that I could chart the rest of our course to Katavar before we resumed traveling. Lady had been the perfect soldier since the encounter on the river, though not much of a companion otherwise. She was shaken badly by the Howler's return and enmity. He had been a staunch supporter in the old days. She was still caught in the purgatory zone between the old lady and the new that had to be, and the heart was not bound in the same direction as the head. She could not find her way out, and much as I ached for her, I did not know how to take her hand and show her. I figured she deserved a distraction. I had Frogface shop for a local equivalent of Opal's Gardens, and he astonished me by finding